It is good to worship with you. Truly, it is good to worship with you again. I miss those opportunities more and more these days. And I just want to apologize for not being here on time this morning. I was about to come down, and one of our songs, the last song, didn't work. The real player somehow, you know, refused to cooperate, so we ended up having to, you know, use the guitar. So that took a couple of minutes away. It is good to look at the Word of God together and to learn to grow in His Word. After all, the psalmist has told us in no uncertain terms that, you know, the Word of God is a light unto our feet. And he also says in Psalm 119 that, you know, how can we keep our way acceptable, pure, and also righteous in the eyes of God? The only way is to turn to the Word of the Lord. Starting last Sunday and for the next few Sundays up until Thanksgiving, the Chinese services will be looking at the topic of praise and thanksgiving, especially on the topic of praise, because this is one of those very many things that we talk about a lot, but very often we understand so little of it, let alone practice. So we are hoping that over the last few, the next few Sundays, that God would teach us more about what praising Him means and also how to be a praise-filled Christian. Today, I'd like to share with you a passage from Colossians chapter 3, as Aaron has led in reading. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12 and ending at verse 17. What is the relationship between praise and the believers? I like what someone has written, and I will share with you this quote. Let us read these quotes together. If you had 1,000 crowns, you should put them all on the head of Christ. And if you have 1,000 tongues, they should all sing His praise, for He is worthy. Isn't that so true of believers, that whatever praise we have, it should all go to God? God wants our praise. I like the portion in the Old Testament where it says that, you know, God is enthroned among the praises of Israel, or God is enthroned among the praises of His people, you know. If you would imagine in your mind that God has a throne, and that God is occupying this throne, you know, from eternity to eternity, then I would also ask you to imagine that this throne is not made with silver and gold, not so much. But more importantly, as this passage in the Old Testament, you know, reveals, God's throne is actually made up of praise, thanksgiving, gratitude from the believers. This is how precious and how important and significant our praise and adoration is to God. So that's why, you know, with this quote, if you have 1,000 crowns, you should put them all on the head of Christ. And if you have 1,000 tongues, they should all sing His praise, for God is worthy. He's worthy of our thanksgiving and our gratitude. But more importantly, and in a very real way, God is worthy of our praise. Oftentimes in our prayer, you know, or in our conversation with God, you know, we would say thank you to God for many different things. But how often do we praise God? How often do we actually adore Him? Whether it be in songs or silently or with words. We may say thank you to God over and over again, but it is not exactly the same as praising God. There is a subtle difference between thanks and praise. Thanking God and praising God. When we thank God, basically, what we are doing is to say thank you to God for the things that He has done for us. It may be something else that, you know, something that He has done for us way in the past, such as, you know, we remember when we look at someone getting baptized, we remember, you know, the day we were baptized. It might be 3 years ago, it might be 20 years ago. Or when we saw someone, you know, coming to the church, we may, you know, be remembering, you know, the first time we came to this church too. We are thankful that God has put us here and made us part of the body of Christ here. Or we may be thanking God, saying thank you to Him for something that we received this morning, perhaps a reminder, perhaps an encouragement, and perhaps, you know, just seeing believers worshiping together. So when we say thank you to God, we are actually thanking God, expressing our gratitude for something that God has done for us, be it in the past or in the present. But however, when we say we want to praise God, When we praise God, we are not so much thanking God for what he has done, his works. We are praising God for who he is. We are praising God for who he is because God is worthy, like we have read in our opening quotes. It doesn't matter whether you remember what God has done for you. Or maybe, you know, you realize or you have come to think that, you know, it seems that, you know, you haven't experienced God for a long time recently. It doesn't matter whether, you know, you remember what God has done for you or not. You can still praise God. You can praise God for who he is. You can praise God, you know, just like in our praise and adoration songs. We can praise God for his promises, like Eric was talking about, you know. Can you imagine what it would be like when the sanctuary is, you know, totally renewed? We are all waiting for that day. And we want to thank people for their, you know, prayers, their sacrificial giving. But most importantly, we want to thank people for believing that God has a purpose, a vision for this church. And God is going to materialize his mission through the body of Christ. And one of the things that we need to do the work of God is a sanctuary. We thank God for the day that, you know, we would have our renovation completed. We thank God for the fact that we have brothers and sisters working together. We want to praise God even if we do not have the project of renovation. We want to praise God even if we, you know, did not have our own building, because God is worthy of praise. And hence, you know, if you flip through the pages of the, you know, of the book of Psalms, you would find that, you know, very often you find the word praise recurring in from chapter to chapter, such as Psalms 18, verse 3. This is what the psalmist was saying, not just to himself by way of reminder and affirmation, but also as a way to encourage other people to join him in praising God. He says, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise. Very often you find that, you know, the reason why the psalmist praised God was because of something that God has done for him. Perhaps God has just rescued him from his enemy. Maybe God has listened to his prayer and restored him, healed him. But here and there you would also find that, you know, the psalmist very often, you know, was filled with praise to God just because of the greatness of God, just because God is filled with love. So here in the Old Testament, we find that, you know, praising God is not an option for believers. It is a must. It is part of our way of life. How do we praise God? When we became a believer, we need to learn increasingly how to praise God. Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean that you would have a habit of praising God. We have to learn. It is something that we need to cultivate until the day we, you know, we died. Psalms 18 told us that already. In the Old Testament, we find many examples of praising God. For instance, we learn that the Israelites, the people of God in the Old Testament, they were a people who knew how to praise God and who also remembered the importance of praising God. Now, this passage from Exodus chapter 15, you know, happened just after they have crossed the Red Sea. You probably remember that, you know, the Israelites were enslaved in the land of Egypt for 400 years because of their own disobedience. When God's timing came, God, through Moses, Aaron, and a few other people, brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And God was leading them into the land of promise, you know, but first and foremost, they have to pass through the wilderness. But even as, you know, they were leaving the land of Egypt, they found that, you know, Pharaoh had a change of heart again. And Pharaoh sent his army to pursue after them. And what do you do when you are chased by your enemy and there doesn't seem to be any escape, you know, in front of you? While they pray to God. And God listened to their prayer, and God, through Moses, parted the Red Sea. And as soon as they have crossed the Red Sea, you know, this is what they, you know, what they offer up in prayer. They have seen God protecting them. They have seen how God, you know, completely vanquished the pursuing army. Let's read verses 1 and 3 together. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord.
I will sing to the Lord, who is highly exalted. For the first and prior, he has hurled into the sea.
Verse 1, I will sing to the Lord for he is highly exalted. I will sing to the Lord for he is highly exalted. Here we are again reminded that, you know, the people of Israel never forgot that one of their primary duties. And as a sign that they are God's people is always to praise God. After crossing the Red Sea, immediately they launch into praise and adoration to God. They knew the importance and the significance of praising God. We find many such examples in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we find that there are also many passages encouraging us, exhorting us to praise. For instance, in the New Testament, you find the word, you know, for praise. And this word has a number of translations. But basically, you know, it means to sing songs, maybe praise songs, you know. It means to sing songs of praise or songs of glory, songs that would talk about the greatness, the goodness, and the faithfulness of God. But every now and then, you would also find that, you know, the New Testament believers love to recite the Old Testament, particularly, you know, from passages in the Psalms. And a lot of these Psalms were cast into music. They would recite the Psalms, you know, and they would sing the Psalms, and a few of these Psalms were among their great favorites. And they belong to a very special category of Psalms called the Hallel. And from that word, which means to praise, from that word, we have the word hallelujah. So even, you know, the New Testament believers knew the importance of praising God. And very often when they praise God, you know, they use the Old Testament passages. The word hallelujah actually, you know, was made up of two words, hallelujah and also yeah. It is one word in Hebrews, but, you know, in the Old Testament, when you look at the word hallelujah, it is not, you know, just any word. It is actually a command. Every time, or a lot of times, when you look at the word hallelujah, the passages in which it occurs, you would find that it is a command to praise. This is the form that the word was in. Hallelujah means to praise, to lift up, to magnify, you know, to make your subject bigger than life or bigger than yourself. Yah is basically, you know, a short form of God. So you put the two words together, God's people were commanded, ordered to praise God from time to time. And this is why, you know, back to the opening quotes, remember, if you have 1,000 what? Crowns? Where do you put it? On the head of Christ. If you have 1,000 tongues, then what do you do with 1,000 tongues? Praise. Sing the praise of God, you know. Sing the praise of God, for God is worthy, you know. Hallelujah basically is another reminder for us to keep praising God because we are commanded in both the Old and the New Testament to praise God. There is power in praising God. I forgot to bring a little booklet with me. Just about yay this thing, you know. Maybe even, you know, two-thirds of the size of this half sheet. It is a book that I read a long time ago, you know, when I first became a believer. It is all wrinkled and yellowish now, the pages. But I've been keeping that book, you know, with me for a long, long time, because the first time when I read it many, many years ago, the book is entitled The Power of Praise. You may have, you know, read similar books, The Power of Praise. It is written by one of the pastors who were in prison for his faith, you know, and he refused to recant his faith. As a result, he was in prison, you know, many, many times over. And in the book, it describes, you know, his suffering, the torture that he went through. But also, most of the book, you know, was talking about his reaction, how he grew from bitterness, disbelief, almost giving up and wanting to, you know, take his own life, to God delivering him from all this misery. And God also gave him a spirit of praise in the midst of his, you know, prison term. It is a book that I am, you know, trying to read. I wanted to be able to have the luxury and the time to, you know, just sit down and just finish the book at one time. But that is not to be. So I carry it with me from time to time. And I'll read, you know, maybe a couple of pages, you know, when I get a chance. I like to encourage you to read, you know, books on praise, besides reading the Bible, you know, because they would develop and expand our understanding and appreciation of what praise of God means. There is power in praising God. There is power in hallelujah. You may know the history of Handel's Messiah Hallelujah Chorus. 1743, when this masterpiece was finished, it was, you know, being played for the first time in the town of London. And King George II, you know, was also attending. The whole piece, from beginning to end, was designed not to entertain the audience, but rather as a praise and worship to God. So you can imagine that, you know, when you walk into the concert hall with the right attitude, listening to the music and, you know, looking at the words, how, you know, very quickly you are absorbed into a spirit and also into, you know, into a spirit and atmosphere of praise. King George II, you know, was exactly in that, you know, a mindset. And at this ending of the, you know, the second portion, and it ended up with the familiar Hallelujah Chorus. By then, you know, his heart was so agitated that, you know, all he wanted was just to worship God. And when he listened to this chorus, you know, instinctively he stood up. Some people say that he stood up because, you know, he was bitten by a mosquito. He had to stand up and scratch. There is that tradition, you know. I don't know how true that is. But anyway, I prefer, you know, the other version. He stood up, you know, just wanting to praise God, just wanting to know, to show respect for God. Here is an earthly king standing up in recognition of God, you know, throughout the entire Hallelujah Chorus. You listen to the, you know, chorus, if you've forgotten how it goes, you know, you will have many times to listen to it over and over again, you know, around Christmas season. You know that it is not a short chorus. So throughout the entire rendition, King George II was standing up in recognition and also in awe of the greatness and the love of God. He started a tradition such that every time when we hear this chorus being played, we stand in recognition and also in awe of the goodness of God. That is what praise of God can inspire us to do. It can move us to focus on God. It can move us to praise God. It can also move us to think and be filled with the greatness of God rather than the smallness of man. When we become a believer, we need to grow, not just in saying thank you to God, but very often we need to grow in praising God. Praise God for the things we have received. Praise God for the experience you are going through, maybe even a tough one. We need to learn how to praise God, how to give him recognition. Why is the praise of God so important? Why do we need to praise God? Why is it a must for all believers to praise God? Isaiah makes it very clear. You know, you find many such passages in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. And I would ask the ladies to read. Ladies, the people. Here, God was very particular about, you know, what he said to the people, you know, to the people of Israel. The people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my name. We are again reminded that, you know, when God formed the church, when God established the Chinese community church, when God made you into a believer, you know, a son or a daughter of the Most High, God is not, you know, letting us after that go and do our own things. He's not giving us, you know, a one-way ticket or insurance, you know, to heaven. God is saying that, you know, I established this church. I call you to be my child for a very specific purpose. The purpose is that they may proclaim my praise. They may proclaim my praise. Imagine how it would break the hearts of God. Imagine how it would break the heart of God if the Chinese community church, you know, you and I, we would go on from year to year here and we would forget about the world outside. We would forget about saying thank you and praising God. We would be just so engrossed, you know, just so absorbed with our own things. We may learn to care with for one another. We may learn to appreciate one another. We may learn to do things together, you know, but everything was just so focused. Imagine how it would break the heart of God and how it would go very much against the teaching of the Bible. The people I form for myself that they may proclaim my praise. This is why we have a Chinatown Service Center. And when is the Fall Festival?
Next Saturday.
We hope that, you know, we will see you. But also that, you know, keep praying for it. It is a great witness opportunity. This is why we believe in mission, outreach, here and elsewhere. This is why we want to talk about worship services on Sunday. This is why we encourage people to get together, to come to prayer meeting. This is why we find that, you know, we want to talk again and again about fellowship, because all these are avenues for us to praise God. In Hebrews chapter 13, I'll ask the brothers to read together. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruits of lips. Notice the second last part, you know, the second part of this verse, you know. Who are the people commanded to offer this praise? The lips that openly profess his name. Those who profess the name of Jesus. Those who are believers. Those who are followers of Jesus. So therefore, going back to Colossians chapter 3, you know, 15 through 17, you find that, you know, Paul is saying again the same thing to the believers in the city of, you know, Colossae, that because you are believers, therefore do not ever forget that one of the things we are to do as Christians is that, you know, we are to be thankful. If you have opportunity, use hymns and songs from the Spirit, gratitude in your hearts, giving thanks, giving praise to God. Paul is saying that, you know, as believers, let us make sure that one of the hallmarks is that of thanksgiving, gratitude, and praise to God. The importance of prayer. You will find that, you know, when you invest more time in praising God, when you invest more time in lifting God and magnifying his name, you know, you would have a closer, more intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's like, you know, an airplane taking off. The more you invest in praising God, the more your praise for God would bring you closer to God. And it would make you forget about your concerns. It would put a distance between you and the things that worry you, the more you praise God. I like what someone says, the more you praise God, the more you become God conscious and absorbed in his greatness, wisdom, faithfulness, and love. Praise reminds you of all that God is able to do and of great things he has already done. That's what praise, that's what hallelujah can do for us. Importance of prayer. Now, the attitudes of praise, important of praise, attitude of praise. Who do we praise? God. God who loves us, God who redeems us. For the believers, praising God is a way of life. It's more than just an action, more than just a worship service on Sunday. It is a way of life. You probably, you know, have encountered individuals who are very good at praising people in the right sense of the word. They're very good with words of encouragement. They may not say much, but the things that they say, you know, like Proverbs was saying that, you know, a word spoken in the right way, you know, brings a lot of relief and encouragement, and it cools and uplifts the soul. You find that, you know, some people have that ability, God-given ability to be very encouraging, more encouraging than other people. But you probably have also encountered people or individual, hopefully not too many of them, you know, from whose mouth every two or three sentences you would hear a complaint, you know, an unforgiving spirit or a curse words. I know of a couple of people like that, not in this church. Praise is a way of life. It is a condition and a reflection of your hearts, you know. To the extent that you praise God, to the extent that your heart overflows with appreciation for God, for who God is, it says something about your relationship with God. It says something about how important God is to you. It is a way of life. But for us to develop these attitudes of praise for God, we have to go back again to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 says, you know, that it is not optional for us. If you are a believer, you have to learn how to cultivate a life of praise. So Paul started with these words in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Therefore, as God's chosen people, who are God's chosen people? But the believers in Christ. What happened? You have to saturate yourself. You have to fill yourself with an attitude of thanksgiving and a lifestyle of praise. God says, you know, as long as you're a believer, you may not know how to praise God yet, but remember, God wants you to develop your praise for him. And we go on in the next verse, verse 13, Paul says, you know, as you keep cultivating this spirit of praise, remember, you have to learn to bear with one another. Learn to forgive. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't matter how much you praise God, you know, it would all bounce back off to you because God would find that unacceptable. Not only do we have to learn to forgive one another and be compassionate, we also have to learn that, you know, when we praise God, we are also telling God that God uses us as a blessing and encouragement to other people. In verse 16, as you teach and admonish. The word admonish is exactly the same Greek word as encourage. Teach and encourage. Teach and build up one another as you praise God. These are the things that make for a life of praise. When we praise God, we are doing for ourselves what God has commanded for us to do. We are also benefiting the body of Christ. Now, how do we praise God? How do we bring honor to God? In Colossians, it says, you know, there are a number of ways. Psalms, hymns, songs, prayers, you know. There are many different ways for us to learn how to cultivate our praise for God. The very important thing is that do not stop. It is a lifelong process. Do not stop praising God. In your daily, experience, you can learn to praise God for things big and small, you know. I have increasingly come to appreciate, seeing an empty parking space around here, you know, here in the vicinity. And very often, especially, you know, when we have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, Mandarin-speaking prayer meeting, you know, if we find an empty parking space, we would try to get someone else to occupy that space until about 6:45 so that, you know, those coming can also park, particularly when the weather gets, you know, a lot colder. If you do not have a car, you do not appreciate parking spaces, or you would appreciate less, all right? But we also appreciate, you know, the parking spaces, couple blocks away. There are many different ways for us to praise God. Praise God for one another, you know. Do you know how empty it feels on Sunday if arriving at a church, you only see a handful or so believers coming together? But when you see people coming together, you know, in consistence and good numbers worshiping God, you know that it also adds praise and gratitude to your heart. You can give thanks to one another. You can give thanks to one another. Now, if you're not quite sure about praising God, where do we begin? Psalms 34, verse 1 says that, you know, I would extol the Lord at all times. His praise always will be on my lips. Again, 71, verse 6, from birth have I relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I would ever praise you. It is a life that we need to cultivate. If you're not quite sure where to begin, the Bible has a few places. Holiness, 2 Chronicles, Psalms 99. You can praise God for the fact that he is holy. You can praise God for the fact that, you know, he is mighty, he is righteous. Grace, Ephesians chapter 1. I have to rush a little bit. Goodness of God, Psalms, you know, God's grace, love, and faithfulness. And also in Ephesians, it says, you know, we can praise God and we ought to praise God, among other things, salvation from God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read this together. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, Again, here it says that, you know, we are God's people. And the reason why we are God's people is so that, middle of the verse, we may declare the praises of God who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. When people look at what we have done, would they see the praise of God? Would they see this church elevating God? I like the words of Moody. Moody once said, if we have a praise church, we will have people converted. If we have a praise church, we will have people converted. In a very real sense, it is true. Because when the church or when a believer is overflowing with praise, you can be sure that you know he or she is concerned with God, preoccupied with God. You can sense in his or her actions, you know, just the goodness, the compassion, and the presence of God. And that is the things that draw us to God. When a church is filled with praise, we would have people coming to God. Moody also shared from one of his many experiences. If you know the ministry and also you know the mode of operation of D.L. Moody, you know that you know he at one point in time was taking care of over 4,000 orphans. That's one of his main ministries. And along with these more than 4,000 orphans, he also had several hundreds of volunteers helping him. But Moody was known to be one who never advertised his financial needs. And every time when he had a need, he would commit it to God in prayer. So one time, he needed money again. And he prayed to God again. And very soon, he received an envelope. In the envelope, along with the money, was also a note. It was sent by someone who had just broken his left arm. And the note says, even though I broke my left arm, I'm enclosing a contribution to God's work because I give thanks that I still have my right arm. What a funny way of giving to the work of God, you know. Because I still have my right arm. It goes again, you know, to show that, you know, it doesn't matter whether we are going through a tough time or not. We can always give thanks to God. We can always praise God for who he is because he's worthy. Let's conclude our message this morning with this verse, with this saying again. Let us read together. If you had 1,000 crowns, you should put them all on the head of Christ. And if you had 1,000 tongues, they should all sing his praise, for he is worthy. Brothers and sisters, let us praise God. Father, we give you thanks, and we praise you for who you are. You are a God of might. You have called us out of darkness into your kingdom of light. And you have no equal or rival in this whole world. We thank you and we praise you. And we want to ask you to again fill your people, this church, with praise. We pray that you will bless our ministries so that whether it be the sanctuary, whether it be a fall festival, whether it be the things that we do within the four walls, in the local community, or elsewhere in the other parts of the world, Father, the result is that we would heap more and more praise on the name of the Lord Jesus. For this we pray in his name. Amen.